live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and the proud owner of a brand new Brokini, me, James Campbell.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. What?
Oh, you heard that. You heard him.
It's a Brokini.
If you hung out on his social media, you would have already seen his Brokini.
It's a Brokini. It's what all the bros are wearing to the beach right now, Robbie.
So it's a bikini, but...
For bros.
Yeah. Bros.
Picture what Andre the Giant would wear in the wrestling ring, but 10,000 times
so
cooler.
So a onesie.
Kind of.
A singlet.
But only one strap on the shoulders.
Okay.
It's like a caveman style.
That
I like it.
Great. It's brotastic. The child of a very famous professional athlete was just busted smoking weed on social media. Now, what kind of punishment did his famous dad dole out? We'll talk about that in a bit, because it looks like Nintendo is going to be tying up courtrooms after they put some gamers and influencers they feel are violating their copyright into their sites. And that is where we're going to get started. We've been talking a lot lately about legal issues amongst some of the gaming world's most elite. It's mostly been Fortnite and Epic Games versus Apple. Well, Nintendo has started going after gamers and influencers that they feel have been in violation of Nintendo copyright. Weird Beard, do we or our listeners have to worry about you getting in trouble with Nintendo?
I will say, Nintendo loves to sue everybody. Like, they're known for being the company that if you even sniff around any of their intellectual properties, they're like the Disney of video games.
So that Super Mario cosplay thing that you did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if, like, they're totally cool. If you remember, we talked about how they recently sued somebody for making a lewd Princess Peach video game or whatever.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, they'll sue anybody. They don't care.
Disappointed I wasn't able to download it before it got
So there's two big lawsuits that people are talking about right now just because they're more Nintendo being Nintendo. The first one being they are suing a mod group, so like these people that create...
Well, suing, they send a cease and desist. They're not actually like taking them to court to get money back.
Okay, so it's like the first step before they start to sue.
Correct.
You.
Yes, for a fan-made game. So fans made a new Legend of Zelda game. They like reused all the parts from the two N64 Zelda games and built a new one. And it's cool. Like people, especially in the gaming community, love like fan-made games like this. Just because if you like a property enough to try and make your own, you obviously are going to attempt to do a good job at it.
Yeah, make it look good.
Exactly.
Spit shine it up so you only want to impress the Nintendo people.
Unfortunately, Nintendo said no. Aww. And honestly, this tends to happen like once every 2 or 3 years you'll see this happen.
It's happened. I gotta spoil our fun, Nintendo.
It's happened a lot of times with like fan-made Pokemon games as well.
Really?
But the bigger story, in my opinion, is this next one with Poke Princess.
Yes.
And who's the Poke Princess?
So Poke Princess is she's a big TikTok star, right? She has over 400,000 followers on TikTok, gets millions of views and everything like that. And she's always used the name Poke Princess for years and years and years and years. And she was finally just served in court and had to go and was legally forced to change her name so that Nintendo would stop trying to get money out of
now,
her.
Now, yes. Now, here's the other thing.
Why.
She also had to pay back a certain percentage
Did
of
she really?
Her yearly earnings because she was also selling like T-shirts and stuff like that. And she was profiting off of the Pokemon.
What entity?
License.
So Pokemon is the entity that they think she's stealing or violating.
No, not even thinking. She actually had merchandise with Pokemon on them.
Yes.
Oh, they had the actual Pokemon characters on her. Oh,
and
well,
that's
a no-no.
She said she sees lots of other people doing it and that the reason
Some people do get away with it.
The reason that this happened and Nintendo got mad at her specifically for it was because she also did an OnlyFans where she was selling
adult content.
So they were going, oh, you're tied to adult content. Our stuff is we're Nintendo. We're
family
friendly.
Yeah, they
want to
be family friendly.
So they sued the pants off of her and she couldn't, like, because she spelled it P-O-K-E, which is just like how Pokemon spells it.
Yep.
Okay.
But then they
also isn't Poke like a dish? Like a
Pocky, yes.
Oh, Pocky, okay.
But I would say she said she couldn't use anything like P-O-K-I or P-O-K-E-I or like you couldn't even make it sound similar to Pokey, anything in there.
And that almost sounds like Nintendo's kind of like bullying her.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, you look and you have Pokimane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Pokimane, one of the largest Twitch streamers that there is out there. I doubt she's only on friendly terms with people like Nintendo.
I can only imagine.
Now, Poke Princess, who I believe now is changed her name to Digital Princess.
Digi Princess.
Digi Princess. Ooh, Digi Princess. You better watch out for the Digimon guys. Bandai, is that Bandai Namco?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, she did say that, you know, she understands why, and she still loves and supports Nintendo as well. So,
well, she's not bitter about it, but...
Yeah, yeah. There,
I mean, technically,
there's
I feel like she'd
that.
Get busted if she's using the actual Pokemon characters.
Yeah, yeah. Better. See, when I first heard this story as well, I'm like, really, they're going after her just because of her name?
Well, I mean, it's
but
because...
the stuff that she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were skirting that line.
A lot of internet culture and a lot of stuff that happens online is so in a gray area, you know what I mean? Because, like, intellectual property is just weird.
Here, do you remember that the mouse pad that you bought with all the Overwatch games
on
it?
Absolutely.
You think that was officially licensed through Blizzard?
Oh, probably not. No, I got that. I got that through the Wish app, so I know that's bootleg stuff straight from China. I know that for a fact.
Exactly, yeah.
You may want to be careful if you plan on doing anything online that may incorporate any Nintendo properties. Now, Xbox chief Phil Spencer did a lengthy interview with Kotaku.com about the upcoming next-generation launch of the Xbox Series X and S. Why is he confident that the next generation of consoles will sell out? We'll talk about that in just a second, because now it's time for this.
Time is up! Oh, my God!
Checkpoint XP's Close Shave. Watch it at CheckpointXP.com.
This weekend, the Renegades Valorant tournament in partnership with Nerd Street Gamers took place, and it featured plenty of new faces with players and teams that were making their professional debut. One of those teams, Anbox, were competing in their first tournament and found themselves in the finals against Immortals and were trying to close the final map out when Immortals pulled out a 2v2 clutch to send it into overtime.
Come down to this, a 2-on-2 with 20 seconds remaining. They still have yet to get the spike down. Neptune is looking for a corpse so he can throw that hat out and get the remaining
the
players'
time.
Positions. They have to go ahead and stick it. There's the kill coming in from Steph. It's now down to one. It's Gangsta, 41 HP, and he's got to try and force it out to take it into overtime. Flashbang to lead them in. We'll look out nicely, and there it is! Gangsta with the 4K, surviving with just 2 HP. We are going to overtime!
Yeah, Gangsta, taking it in overtime. Now, Anbox took their map and the win during that overtime, but it was only by the skin of their teeth that the Immortals were even able to force it to begin with. Congrats goes out to Anbox with their first victory and tournament win. Remember, if you ever miss a close shave of the week, you can find them posted over at CheckpointXP.com.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to CheckpointXP.com to get in the game.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. The head of the Microsoft Gaming Division and brand manager for Xbox, Phil Spencer, did a very lengthy interview with Kotaku.com where he discusses the launch of the next generation of Xbox, the purchase of Bethesda, and why he thinks the Xbox system will not be able to be kept in stock on the shelves this holiday season. Sounds like you got something to say about that, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just he's probably not wrong, because you realize that with the Xbox One in Japan, they weren't able to keep it on shelves either because they never put it there to begin with.
Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Yeah, they literally hate Xbox so much in Japan.
Well, it's not that they don't hate it, but nobody buys it, so the retailers just didn't even stock it.
Really?
You had to pre-order if you wanted to get it.
Lame.
That's how unpopular the Xbox is? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, though, Phil Spencer, he does think that this generation will be a little bit different. Now, he said that to start off with, he does think that the Xbox Series X, which is the more powerful, more expensive version, to start with, is going to sell better. But he thinks that in the long run, it's actually the cheaper $300 version that will end up being more popular. And that'll
really?
Be the digital-only version. And I have to say, based on what it is that they're offering, and with as popular and as enticing as Game Pass is getting right now, I mean, it's going to be the Netflix of video games. No one's been able to really nail that so far. But if Xbox can do it, if they can get people consuming it, then something like the Xbox Series S is going to be, in the long run, I think, a hot seller. But I think the big sort of thing that Sony should be worried about from this interview here is they were talking about the acquisition of ZeniMax for $7.5 billion.
B, with a B.
With a B. That's the parent company of Bethesda. They make Fallout, Skyrim, etc.
Yeah, Doom.
Yep, and the person interviewing them said that, you know, will you be able to recoup the costs of buying Bethesda without putting your games on PlayStation? Like, you'll have to put them there to recoup
that,
make
that
right?
money back. It would make sense.
And
it's
he said,
billions of dollars.
Yeah, so Phil said, not necessarily.
Oh.
Now, they did say, because there are some deals that are already in works. Deathloop, which is a new sort of a time travel PvP sort of game, is going to be coming out from Bethesda, and that's actually exclusive to PlayStation. That deal's going to be honored.
Yeah, they're still honoring all the stuff that they had in the past with, in terms of like exclusive releases.
But Phil said that he doesn't necessarily have to put those games on PlayStation to make the money back. Now, I don't know. Now, he also said this doesn't mean that they're not going to be there. because he's also said in the past and in this interview too that he believes that gamers should be able to play the games where they want
and then
when they want.
Listen, they're
going to
see their bottom
want.
Line and be like, ooh, maybe we should just keep
maybe
it
we should let them put it on PlayStation.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, how do you guys feel? Like you know, do you think that as Xbox, that keeping it off of PlayStation, do you think that that's going to benefit them more than if they were to put it on PlayStation and then kind of have to, I don't know, share the profits between the two?
I mean, James, have you ever bought a game and then gone, wow, I would pay for an entire new system to play another one of these games?
No.
Yeah, so
no.
I think, like, there's a lot of Jameses in the world that are like, it'll be cool if the games are on PS5 and I have a PS5.
Yeah.
I'll play the heck out of them, but I'm not buying, I myself would never buy a whole system just for a game.
All
at
right,
this point.
Realm Royale 2 comes out.
Yes.
It's only on the PlayStation 5. You buying the PlayStation 5 to
oh,
play it.
Oh, man, to play Realm Royale 2.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would probably be a super fun game, but I don't know that I'd be able to justify
They're
spending
discontinuing
that cash.
Realm Royale. You can only play it on the PS5 now.
Okay. I mean, now you've got me much more interested. Like
I'm
ready. You know, yeah, you are really twisting my arm right now,
yeah.
Rob. You got my arm.
I mean, that's what these companies try to do, man.
But I mean, I feel like it is a smart strategic move to keep just the Bethesda games on the Microsoft properties.
Really?
I think that's a smart move for them because I think there are some people that are out there that aren't like me, but there's some real weirdos that are really into Skyrim and some of these Doom games. Which NBA star's son is in hot water with his esports team after getting busted on Instagram doing something very naughty?
Very, very naughty.
Very naughty. Well, I'll talk about that in just a bit, because ahead next, since the Overwatch League season just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, some teams have begun rebuilding and investing into their next season already. One team actually had their entire roster cut. Hopefully, it was nobody that Robbie Landis roots for. We'll talk about that and another esports organization that has taken a big step closer to being just a lifestyle brand. All next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
With continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is going to be absolute madness around.
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging with me, James Campbell, along with Weird Beard and someone who proved he ain't afraid of no ghost and Phasmophobia. Robbie Landis.
You know what? People who watch... No, stop. Don't even. He addressed me. I get to talk, all right? People are so childish about this. They think because it's a scary ghost game that the whole point of it is just to run in and be scared. But it's not. You are trying to solve a problem, okay? And the fact that there are things in the van that give you analytics to the game to help you solve it, it makes sense that someone should be in the van and not in the house where the murderers are.
Hold on. We find out that Robbie was hiding in the van?
Yes, that's exactly
what are you doing?
I was not hiding. I also had the lowest sanity, right? And the ghosts prefer to kill people with low sanity, it makes sense to put them in the truck during that time. I will be taking no more questions.
If this was Scooby-Doo, he is Fred, and I was Shaggy, and he told me to go into the dark, scary basements and be like, oh, I'll wait up here in the van. I'll wait where it's light and everything.
Did you die?
I did.
No, you died once because you couldn't talk to us.
Yes, so it's...
I kept him alive every other game.
I don't know if I want to trust you to come along with me on a ghost hunt, Robbie Landis. An esports franchise just let go of their entire roster that competes in what's looking like a dying scene. While another team just dropped $9 million to build a new roster in the same exact scene? Weirdbeard, what is going on with Counter-Strike Global Offensive?
There's a lot going on with CSGO right now, but mainly it's focusing
besides on... besides everyone being banned for cheating.
Yes.
Oh, they're plagued with that issue too.
The North American CSGO community is pretty crazy right now. The easiest way that I have to break it down is I'll let Shroud... you know, one of the big he's a former CSGO pro and a big streamer. He talked about it on stream, but NA CSGO is dying right now.
Okay. 9's probably going to pull out soon. 100 Thieves pulled out like
It's so EU dominating right now. Oh, yeah. Complexity, actually, you're right. Complexity isn't even NA anymore. They moved to EU. So some of their American players are living in EU. That's very true.
And this is a problem that essentially underscores why 100 Thieves has dropped their entire CSGO roster for the second time, might I add, that they're quitting this esport.
They've quit CSGO twice.
Yes, this is their second time here.
Okay.
And it's because, as the CEO Nadeshot referenced in a video that he recently put up through the organization, everything in Counter-Strike Global Offensive has moved to be so European-centric. All the teams are there. All the like competitions are there. That being a North American team right now is just you either have to move to Europe and live there full-time, or you're always at a disadvantage.
So it's hard to make – pretty much it's hard for them to make any money here in North America.
Absolutely.
And what's happening right now in CSGO, everything is transitioning over to Europe. We talk to our players about what solutions we can find, because they've been competing their butts off, and they have done the best job that they could to bring 100 Thieves the results that we strive for. And unfortunately, we've fallen short quite a bit. So even if we wanted to make roster changes, there were still hurdles in our way. Right now, with the qualifications and the point system for CSGO majors, any roster movement that we would have made could have jeopardized our position, our opportunity to even compete in a major.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like a whole just cluster, you know, mess right now that they're dealing with in CSGO, because like you said, if they were to try to you know, get rid of some of their players that are underperforming on that team, they would have missed tournaments, and if they had missed any tournaments, they would have automatically been out of the like qualifications for the big it's like NASCAR, right? Like, to where you have to race a whole bunch of races and you get the points.
Yeah,
they just wouldn't have been able to compete in enough events to even be able to qualify for those big events or anything like that. So it's just an ugly, ugly scene for North American Counter-Strike right now. But that's in just sharp contrast to a team like Cloud9, which this past week just signed another player that brings their total, how much money they're paying their CSGO roster alone? $9 million.
Wow.
Man.
While other teams are out there firing their entire squad.
That's wild. How many players are on a roster?
So on most rosters, it's like six players or okay. So. But then one of the other big signings that they just had is Cloud9 just signed Henry G, who is a former caster for the ESL.
Mm-hmm.
He's their new head coach. So they're paying a ton of money for their wow. head coach, a brand new like general manager. They have all these new like people that they're signing and everything. So it's just nuts that they're spending all that money when other people can't even find any money at all in there.
So where does Cloud9, like, what mountain do they stand on? Like, this is our esport.
None.
They what?
Yeah, Cloud9's not even a top tier. Like, they're a top tier team. Let me take that back. But they don't have any huge wins as of late. They're, like, they're still not.
They're
amazing.
An endemic brand. Like, Cloud9 has been in esports like for as far back as you can think. Like, people know that name, but they just have been performing recently.
If they were a normal sports team, could you guys say what kind of which team would they kind of be, metaphorically
Ooh.
Speaking?
They're a team that won recently. Maybe like the
Red Wings? Is that being too insulting?
A little, because they're not that far down, but I would say that, like, if they were football, right, they're a team like the 49ers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've won a Super Bowl in the past, right?
Okay.
Just in 2018, in January 2018, they won the E-League Major in Boston. That's huge. It's a $500,000 prize pool, right? But if you go back and look at their last couple of matches, they lost in Pro League Season 12 every match that they played.
Ooh.
Over the past couple
every
of...
Every match.
Yeah, like...
They are not on Cloud9.
So, you know,
way.
they'll eventually hit to where they need to be. But for right now, like, $9 million is just... That's a crazy amount of money.
That's rough.
Now that the 2020 Overwatch League season is over, teams are working on building and securing players to help them win next year. One team went as far as blowing out their entire roster and starting from scratch. We'll talk about that in just a moment, because now it's time for this.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
there you go, four.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
We're going to get our nailed and failed it started off today with our nailed it. A streamer and his girlfriend bought over 17 boxes of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. You can still buy those?
Yeah, absolutely.
Full boxes?
Yes.
Wow, okay. That's 24 packs per box, and that's over 400 packs. Now, they're opening them up on stream in hopes of getting the rare 10,000 dragon card worth over $1,000. Listen as the streamer opens his first pack of cards.
Taking a shot, every Numeron network fading. Good luck, man. We'll take a shot, baby, because we're going to get nothing.
Did he get it?
He did.
Did you just get it?
I'm showing it to you. Yes. 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 Yes, I got it. Oh, Jesus, I was expecting like a eruption.
Wow.
I got it, baby.
I couldn't tell if you were just f***ing with me.
Well, why would I? What did you think I was holding?
I thought it was going to be a Numeron network because he
no.
said that.
Yeah.
Like, the adrenaline yeah. going through the guy must have been huge. Have you ever actually had a moment? I've never had a card that rare, but I know there's a card, like, I used to collect X-Men cards.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the holographic cards were, like, the cards to get.
Yeah.
Or the glitter cards were the cards to get. So I know exactly how that guy feels when you open up that pack of cards and you're like,
there's that half second of, like, you don't believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
this is fake.
And then you register and you're like, oh, my God, this is it.
And then all of a sudden his brain probably kicks in. He's like, oh, my God, I have 399 more packs to open, yo! So congrats on that 10,000 dragon card. I'm sure this will make him a first-rate duelist with a $1,000 deck. Remember, we'll be hitting our Failed It portion of the Nailed and Failed It coming up a little bit later in the show. If you ever miss a Nailed It or Failed It, they're always posted over at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP, your home for competition. Online at CheckpointXP.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We were just talking about some of the happenings going on in the Counter-Strike Global Offensive esports scene. Now, CSGO isn't the only esports seeing some changes. Teams in the Overwatch League are also working on investing money and talent to build better teams. Robbie, what's going on over here?
Oh, man.
Is there anybody left in the Overwatch League anymore?
All right, let's start with where we were originally going to start before some more news broke, right? So when I saw that Cloud9 in the CSGO scene was willing to spend $9 million to put together this new roster.
You got jealous. You wish you had that kind of money putting in your own team, right?
First of all, yes, but it surprised me because the London Spitfire, who are owned by Cloud9, just released their entire roster from this season.
Well, I guess we know where I got the $9 million from.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently. But here's the thing. They were a rookie squad, so they weren't...
They weren't even making that much.
They weren't making that much. And as a rookie squad, they actually did really, really well this season.
Oh, that's
and I would have loved to have seen them stick together, maybe get some off-season time together.
Yeah, develop them as better players. And
exactly. Yeah. See, honestly, that's one of the biggest problems in esports right now is if you don't bring home a championship win, it's like they throw you to the wolves and they completely do it all over again. The Dallas Fuel...
It's like the Roman Coliseum.
Fuel released every single player they had except
they?
For one, and I'm willing to bet it's because he's still under contract. Otherwise, he'd probably be out the door as well.
Mm.
But it seems like across the league, everyone's releasing everyone. Now,
Boston Uprising torched theirs. Florida Mayhem had multiple of their players leave.
Florida,
LA Gladiators canned their entire team.
Even teams that were doing good. The Florida Mayhem have been bottom tier the first two seasons. This time they were actually in the upper echelon, and they're still letting go of players.
How's the Vancouver Titans team doing?
We're not going to talk about that.
That's good. Probably the best.
But, you know, if I had to put a guess out there as to why this is happening, I think that, you know, due to the COVID situation, I think a lot of these teams aren't making the money that they want to be making.
Oh,
and by
okay.
releasing all of their players and now probably going to sign rookies or getting signed to a new team, you can basically start them at the bottom of contracts.
They're
going
to cut expenses.
Fire everybody at the same time, nobody can ask for top dollar because mm-hmm. everybody's on the market right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to ask for too much money, okay, well, you and every that it'd be the same as if like the majority of football teams all cut their starting quarterback at once.
Okay.
Nobody is going to be able to ask for $50 million.
Like, I want the Tom Brady cash, when they're like, well, I can get Tom Brady for
I can get anybody
a reasonable
I want.
Rate. Yeah.
So it's like if the floodgates have opened, now it's not how many teams will, it's like what teams won't release their entire rosters and attempt to pick up cheap people or get the other people that just have never played before.
Wow, that's wild. Crazy times in the Overwatch League. A female celebrity admits she met her significant other through playing Call of Duty.
What?
Yeah, very cool, huh? Now, is meeting people through online video games still considered taboo? We'll talk about that in a bit, because ahead next, an NBA star's son is in hot water with his esports team after getting busted on Instagram doing something very frowned upon. We'll let you know who it was and what happened when Checkpoint XP returns.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, with James, Robbie, and Weirdbeard, where gaming lives.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard from Checkpoint XP on campus, and if you want the hottest in esports news coming from the college scene, tune in to Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell. Along with me is Robbie Landis, and the guy who almost got away with it, but then he started looking a little sus, Weird Beard.
I'll tell you, you know what the real way to be able to convince people of anything you want is, like, by leaning hard into the fact that you are the bad guy. And so really? I think in Among Us, you can't feel bad about being the one that goes around and murders all your friends, because then it's like, You gotta play the role. If you're the imposter, go kill everybody.
You know, he's sitting here talking like he knows what's going on, yet he's still being featured in this week's Failed It, which is coming up here in
wow,
just
we have a
bit.
Failed It featuring our very own Weird Beard and Among Us.
I wonder how that got there.
Wonder how that plays out. We can find out coming up in a little bit in our Failed It portion of the Nailed It and Failed It, coming up in just a few minutes. We've talked before on the show about a pro's mom saying some stuff on Twitter that she probably shouldn't have. And now we have another professional player's mom who leaked a huge trade between two CSGO teams before anybody knew about it. Weird Beard, who spilled the beans?
So here's what's going on is we talked earlier about, North American Counter-Strike and how that's, you know, falling apart a little bit.
Yeah.
But now we're going to talk about Brazilian Counter-Strike.
Oh, Brazilian Counter-Strike.
Which is actually super all kinds of, like, craziness going on with it currently. So after this past weekend, we actually had IEM New York, a huge competition going on for CSGO, and FaZe Clan won IEM New York, right? They beat 100 Thieves in the grand finals. And Nico on Twitter, one of the players for FaZe, tweeted, "F yes, champions of IEM New York." In response to that, we have a tweet from Elisa Meridale 4, I guess, saying the Cold Zera family asks you to rethink some decisions. And now, this has been a rumor for quite a while that
the family wants you to reconsider.
Was that Nico was actually going to be going to G2 to go play with a European championship team. Cold Zera, right, is one of the other members on the FaZe team. So Cold Zera, his mom was tweeting at one of his teammates saying, "Hey, our family asks you to rethink some decisions.
Our son's going to miss you on the team if you go away."
And so this has been a big hullabaloo because they've been putting down these rumors for a while now, being like, "Nico's not going anywhere. He's not doing anything." And Nico's like, "No, I'm staying here," and everything. But there have been little whispers and whatnot.
"We're not trading him."
Yeah.
And all nodding their head. "We're not trading."
And then when you see somebody's mom tweeting at your teammate being like, "Hey, we ask you to rethink some decisions," that's insider information.
Absolutely,
like, they know. And this is not the first time that we've dealt with moms kind of leaking everything. Like, over a year ago, it was a player named KNG's mom who leaked his move to MIBR. On another tweet, we talked earlier this year about Hiko's mom tweeting.
Hiko's mom.
She had a got it going on. She was tweeting at people talking about how, "Hey, we need a roster change," pretending she wasn't Hiko's mom. My question to you guys is, would you allow your moms, if you're a professional esports player, to be on Twitter?
If they were on Twitter, and luckily none of my, you know, extended family is, but if they were on Twitter, they would not be involved. Like, I wouldn't be telling them anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you gave confidential information to your family thinking, "Oh, they don't know what they're doing. They're not going to tell anybody." Guess what they did?
They told the whole world.
They did.
Not on purpose. Coming from a professional radio personality, I would say no, because I don't tell my mom any of this stuff. Because there's a lot of confidential information that happens between, your employer and a media personality that you can't let get out because the competition's listening. They want to, you know, you don't want to give them the upper hand. So, no, I would not allow my mom to tweet anything. Thank goodness she doesn't understand what a Twitter is. She's just barely kind of getting used to putting photos on Facebook.
It's easy for us to say that when they're not, you know, into technology at all. But if my mom actually could, like if she could actually function in tweet stuff, I mean, I'd want her to be on Twitter because it's, you know, it's a cool way of showing support. And I've seen lots of esports parents that are really supportive. And, you know, honestly, it's really kind of like, you know, it's cool to see.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. We're just talking about an esports mom that leaked confidential information about a huge trade. Well, LeBron James' son, Bronny, was caught on Instagram doing something bad that caused him to get punished. And we wanted to know, if your kid was making bank playing video games, how would you, as a parent, discipline them when something like this happens? So give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. Weird Beard, can you fill us in? What happened to Bronny?
So the biggest thing is it's a story of how kids are stupid. And it doesn't matter how rich your parents are. All kids are stupid. That's just the
stupid
way
kids be doing stupid things.
It's the way the world works. So Bronny, LeBron James' son, who is a signed content creator to the FaZe Clan, recently uploaded and then subsequently deleted a video of him smoking weed on Instagram.
Is it the kind of content you think they're looking for?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay.
While this happened while LeBron James was off competing for a championship with the Lakers.
Oh, dad's in the bubble. Yeah, let's get up to some trouble.
He was all by himself and uploaded a video of himself smoking weed and then deleted it.
Wait, hold on. He uploaded it. He didn't get caught on somebody. Oh, kids are dumb.
Did it to himself.
And it wasn't like an accidental thing.
Hell no. It's like it's one of those.
It's
kid
like one of
videos.
Those like cool. I'm smoking weed selfie videos.
Yes.
Okay.
It's exactly what it is.
You're not supposed to Snapchat those to your friends. You're not supposed to post it publicly.
And so he posted it and he got in trouble. Now LeBron James has not personally commented about how he whooped his boy's ass. But I will say, it's kind of funny because he actually got grounded from playing in a Warzone tournament
that
had money on the line. And it wasn't like LeBron James didn't tweet it out, but this is the reaction of Odell Beckham Jr., who is supposed to be Bronny's teammate in this.
Where is Bronny?
Wasn't Bronny supposed to be there?
Hostile dropping into the area. Watch the skies.
What did you say?
Wasn't Bronny supposed to be here?
Yeah, but he said he couldn't today.
No, I wonder why.
I love that. He said he couldn't be here today. Y'all remember that when you get in trouble as a kid and can't go somewhere, you don't call up and say, hey, I got a gun. You're just like, you know what? Nah.
We're wondering, if your kid was making bank playing video games, much like Bronny is, how would you as a parent discipline them when something like this happens? And we do have a caller on the line. How would you handle the situation?
Hey, this is Jake Palm from Marlette. In all honesty, in this situation, I think LeBron handled it the same way I would. I'm one of those parents that the punishment needs to fit the crime. And in this case, I think having to skip a tournament because he was told he couldn't go is far easier than the consequences that he could be dealing with.
Oh, okay. Let's be fair here, though. Between the four of us, none of us have the type of money that LeBron's family has, right?
So, very true.
So his son, his son skipping that
100%, Robbie.
Nothing's happening there.
It's not going to affect. Yeah, it's not going to affect him in any way, shape, or form.
So, if your kid was potentially bringing home, let's say, $10,000 from this tournament, you still telling him he can't go to that tournament?
Yes, in this case, in this instance,
wow.
What if he was like, Dad, I'll give you $1,000 and let me play?
What's the price? What's the price that you would allow your kid to smoke weed?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, because I don't believe you. I'm sorry, I don't believe you.
Should I read the statement his mother said to me?
Now you got to bring mom in on it.
Oh, no, she would. Well, I couldn't say murder, but it would be a far worse punishment than just skipping the tournament and losing out on that kind of money.
I feel like a bad parent sometimes because if my kid was really, like, if Roblox was a competitive e-sport and she was like, yo, I'm even bringing home, like, $200, I'd be like, all right, cool, you murdered somebody last weekend.
Go get that cash.
Go get it. Yeah. You'll be good.
Go make daddy some of that money. All right, thanks for your call.
Take it easy.
Coming up. Is the PlayStation Network listening in on your private conversation with gamer friends?
Spoilers, probably.
Uh-oh. We'll let you know a little bit more about that coming up in a bit, because next, Sarah Silverman goes on a talk show and admits she met her current significant other playing video games. All the details on that story next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The League of Legends World Championships continue throughout the month of October, with the finals set to be held in early November. With the Overwatch League Grand Finals in the books, normally we turn our attention to the Overwatch World Cup. However, with BlizzCon canceled this year, that event is now in doubt. We're unlikely to see more professional Overwatch until 2021. In Counter-Strike Global Offensive, the month of October plays host to IEM New York, as well as the DreamHack Open Fall event. The RLCSX Fall Major is underway, and North America's turn is just about here. North America will compete on October 18th and October 25th. The November 6th Siege Major has been replaced by a regional competition that'll be held online. North American competition will run November 13th through the 5th.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're coming up on the end of the major esports seasons at this point, and it's going to be a long wait until January. Hopefully, 2021 will be a better year for esports. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, head on over to our website. That's over at checkpointxp.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging with Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who took advantage of the Sega 60-year anniversary free game, Golden Axe. It's actually a prototype for a sequel to Golden Axe. Me, James Campbell.
I wanted to get this. I saw it. So it's a free copy of a scrapped prototype for like a Golden Axe sequel or prequel?
Yeah, it was like some sort of prequel, sequel. I thought it was a fun game too. It's so, like a medieval evil times beat 'em up.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there was like a canceled version. So they canceled this prototype and now they've decided, you know what, for our anniversary, we're just going to throw out this game that we never really...
For free.
It's absolutely unfinished. So if you're going to pick it up...
Okay, all right, fair enough. It's a publicity stunt then.
Kind of, because it was only available for 24 hours.
Ah.
One day only, and I took advantage of it. Last week, Sarah Silverman made an appearance on Ellen where she revealed the unlikely place she met her current significant other. Listen to the clip here.
You, apparently, this is the things I learned about you before you come here today, started dating during the quarantine, which is a weird time to start dating. I guess it was an app. Was it an app?
It wasn't an app.
No?
It was... Well, as the world was shutting down... I thought I should start playing video games again. You know, it just made sense. This is the time. So I went to GameStop, was still open.
You're
I bought
lucky.
A console and a couple games, and I got really into this one. It's not the latest one, but I love it. Call of Duty World War II. So this guy who I knew peripherally, like, we have mutual friends and stuff. We knew each other a bit. He direct messaged me on Twitter. He goes, I'll play with you online. We were both quarantining, you know?
Hold on. Before we finish this, he was 100% shooting his shot.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He slid into those DMs.
There, I mean, you do not just accidentally be like, oh, I see you just bought a console. I'll play this old Call of Duty with you.
Oh, you happen to be a World War II enthusiast, huh? I happen to be one as well. Let's play Call of Duty.
So every night at 7:05, I was in New York. So at 7, we banged the pots and pans out on the fire escape. And it really became just like a group primal scream. It was actually kind of beautiful to be in New York at that time. Then at 7:05, put my headset on. And I kill Nazis with this guy. I mean,
how romantic.
Yada yada yada. We're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Wow. So I mean, that is very like 2020-esque.
Yeah, it's a wild story.
Do you think that it's weirder to meet somebody playing video games than it is on like Tinder anymore?
Well, I think you could tell just in the way that Ellen said it, right? She fully expected it to be, hey, you met him on an app,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe meeting people on like these dating sites, you know, we're in the future now, we're all, you know, technology and stuff. So I don't think that it's taboo anymore to meet people on an app. But it does seem, and I think even Sarah was a little kind of hesitant.
Yeah, she seemed embarrassed
there.
Actually,
she did.
Admit.
She was embarrassed.
Like, oh man, I had to go buy the console and this game. And like for me, I would have been more embarrassed. Like I'm playing this old Call of Duty game. I'm like, I can't admit to these guys I'm playing Call of Duty World War II. But I think her so was funny. More so the social implications that she had meeting that man playing the game.
Now, Robbie, if you were single again, do you think you'd have more success trying to find dates on a dating app or on video games?
I have dated people on a video game before, so I think that I would have way more success on the video game than on the app.
All right, we are talking about Sarah Silverman and how she met her boyfriend playing Call of Duty. And it got us wondering, is this still weird or kind of taboo to meet your significant other online? We actually have a caller on the line that wants to chime in on this. What's going on, caller?
Hey, guys. This is Enyo, and I met my wife on Final Fantasy XIV. It's kind of a long story, but I guess the short version is we ended up in a free company together and became quite good friends. We ended up talking on Skype, voice chat, and then video chat for over a year and a half. And then she ended up moving here from Russia, and we got married.
Hold on. All right. No. Here's the question. How many times did you guys hang out before she moved from Russia?
Once. I went there for 5 days over Christmas 1 year.
Sounds like an episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
So how long have you guys been together then?
We've been married for about 4 years in December now.
Oh, so is gaming still a big part of your guys' relationship? Is that like something that you guys can share with each other still?
Oh yeah, that's pretty much the only thing we do.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and you know, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you guys.
We're talking about Sarah Silverman meeting her current boyfriend playing Call of Duty. And we were just wondering, is that still kind of a weird way to meet a significant other? And we have another caller on the line. How's it going?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. So tell us about it. Did you meet your significant other online while playing video games?
I actually did. I actually started playing video games because of them, significantly a lot.
Now, did you lie at first and pretend you knew lots about video games to impress him?
Absolutely not. I made it upfront that I'm putting you at this. The first time I was exposed to video games in general was watching my dad play Super Mario. It wasn't really like a big part of my life up until I met this person. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm actually like really interested in video games. And then I started getting more and more into it. And we got like a lot more stuff to talk about with that.
Did at the time, was it like embarrassing for you or him to admit to other people that that's how you started, like how you met?
Like at family gatherings, do you tell the story of how we met playing, you know, Lord of the Rings or whatever?
No, not really. Because like the way we met was actually like really, was really weird because like it was one of those moments where it was like, I really hope they like me because like I really like talking to them about this particular thing. And it was more of like an unrequited kind of thing because like, you know, this person's like really out of my league. And then they end up like about a year or some odd ago, they tell me, they like me back. And I'm like, oh my God, I've had like a crush on you for like a year and you're telling me this. And it's like, it's been like that for like, God, almost like half a decade now at this point.
Well, thank you again so much. And we hope the two of you can find another half a decade.
Gaming on a budget? We've got a game for free.
$3.99!
Checkpoint XP's free game of the week.
Checkpoint XP has you covered with the free game of the week. This week's free game of the week is very spooky and very festive. Can't wait to hear more about it.
Do you hear it? That distant rumble. A tide rises and veins the world. It comes from you. Weak. Weightless. Worthless.
What you just heard there was Layers of Fear 2.
Too scary. There's too many layers. There's too many layers for me to handle.
James is like, one layer is too much.
Yeah, one layer of fear is one layer too many.
So Layers of Fear is a first-person psychological horror game with an emphasis on exploration and story. Players control a Hollywood actor who heeds the call of an enigmatic director to take on a lead role in a film shot aboard an ocean liner.
Why would you? What? That sounds like a porn.
It does.
Or, it very well could be.
But it's scary instead.
Yeah. So the whole idea here, I guess, is this director gets you to like come to this ocean liner to like accept the role or whatever. And like the whole thing's about, you know, how will you embrace your role? And, you know, to me, psychological horrors are like the worst. Like the ones that really get into your head, because they don't have to maintain any semblance of realism. Like at any point, you could open a door and suddenly, you know, you're walking down like a hall of like flesh or something like that. Like
it's like a bad acid trip.
Yeah. Like this is the stuff that gets the scariest.
Why is the walls breathing?
5 to 10 hours to beat. Most horror games are not that long. You can do it in, you know, one or two settings.
5 hours too many. Yeah. I will not be
James,
able to play this.
It's... One day, I'm going to get you on stream. We're going to play through a horror game together.
I'll stock up you on your adult
What's
diapers.
What's the scariest game you'll play?
The scariest game I'll play?
Yeah.
Gears of War?
All right, cool.
Wow.
Sure.
Okay. I got scared. Okay, I got scared playing Gears of War.
Anyway, that's free on the Epic Game Store for the next week. So get it as quickly as you can.
All right, there's your free game of the week. Layers of Fear 2. If you're brave enough to handle it, give it a whirl. It is for free right now at the Epic Game Store. Now, if you're looking for another good game recommendation, something that's easy to get into and well worth the time, we do have our Patient Gamer segment coming up in the next hour. Coming up next, it's time for the Checkpoint XP crew to go head-to-head in some fun and games this time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're going to play a little Never Have I Ever. The video game edition.
It's going to be like a high school party, just same, just no alcohol.
Oh.
Sorry, no more fun, though.
I'm getting tired of these games that I can't win.
Oh, come on, Robbie. You've won enough times. It's time for us to get a chance. It's all next on Checkpoint XP.
Live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh, my goodness. How does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You've got me, James Campbell. And joining me are Weird Beard and the man who's been spending his spare time completing his Apex Legends challenges. It's Robbie Landis.
Not even just my spare time, just any time that I can find. This 2-week-long event started, right? And there's
You're
these
obsessed.
Three challenges that mm-hmm. you can get like special badges for, but it's limited time. So yeah, if you don't get them in that time, you don't get them. And at first I'm like, well, maybe I could probably do the one. There's no way I could get the one with 100 kills in 10 wins. And then like as the event's coming to its end, I'm like, actually, you know what? If I really tried, if I really like dedicate myself, I think I can do it.
This is his white whale. Like everybody, I play with Robbie. Everybody in our group that plays Apex with Robbie freaking hates this game mode. It's the worst
just
way to...
stealing everybody's kills?
It's a special limited time mode that apparently everyone else hates, probably because I'm actually good in it for some reason.
But so then there's like 3 or 4 of us in the queue that are playing with Robbie that goes, this sucks, we don't want to do this. And he's like, I'll turn the car around you guys keep complaining.
I'm 2 wins away and they're trying to stop my dream from coming true, James.
Well... Robbie, I will never tell you not to chase your dream, so I hope you get those
I hope
challenges
so, too,
completed.
Or I'm going to be really mad.
I'm sure you blame it on Weird Beard.
I will,
way.
Absolutely.
If you were here last week, you heard us tell you what kind of content your favorite video game characters would create on OnlyFans, and ultimately, Robbie was the most creative with what Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell would post. Well, this week, we have a brand new game to play. This time, it's the Never Have I Ever video game edition. Weird Beard. How are we playing this one?
Yeah, so, how do I win?
There's no winning. I designed it specifically.
It.
Oh, no.
Dumb.
You can't. There's no judging or anything.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the kind of game that you would play when you're in high school. And, you know, you don't want to play Spin the Bottle or 21 Questions.
I definitely don't want to play either of those with you guys.
So I'm going to ask you guys questions, and we're all going to tell us whether we've ever done it or not. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The first one. Never have I ever thrown a controller in a fit of rage.
I can't say that. I throw a controller in a fit of rage on a regular basis.
I've done it twice.
Only
did
twice?
You break?
Wow.
Did you break
Actually,
it?
Actually, one of them was fake rage. The other one was like more of like a contained rage because I was actually playing with a friend's controller. He had one of those cool ones that was like transparent so you could see the insides, those are nice, right? Yeah. And I had done something that induced rage within me, and I had calmed this back in the PlayStation 1. I had unplugged his controller. I had wound it up. I had set it aside. I grabbed my controller. I unwound it. I plugged it in, and then I chucked it at the wall, and it smashed
and
shattered.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
So it was a very contained and, like, I know exactly what I'm doing rage.
What about you, Weird Beard?
I've never. My parents put the fear of God in me, wow. So, like, doing that would be sacrilege, and I would never recover. I couldn't do
that's
it.
That's why Weird Beard has nice things, Robbie.
I guess. But he has a daughter that breaks them. So.
Yeah, so it's karmic retribution on that one. Next, never have I ever played through a game on New Game Plus. So New Game Plus is a game mode included in some games to where once you beat the game, you can turn around and beat it again with stuff from the last time you played through it. Have you played any games on New Game Plus?
Would the Mario, like the Lost Levels, count as yes. that? Then yes. I've beaten the Lost Levels, and then they make you start over again, and they make it even harder. But yes. I think I made it through the first level. I was like, I've made my point.
I'm good.
yes, I've also done it on various RPGs.
Anyone that you enjoyed playing through a second time?
I feel like if you're going to play through them a second time, you have to enjoy it. So yes, almost all of them.
Okay.
I think Zelda, too, I did that. Because don't you put in a different name in The Legend of Zelda, and you can play a whole new
the
different
Master
mode?
Quest, yes. Yeah. Ah, that was a deep pull,
you like
James.
That, Robbie? There's some pro stuff.
yeah, super pro James.
What about you, Weird Man?
Chrono Trigger is the ultimate New Game Plus game. I think it rewards you for playing through that and Undertale are both two games that you kind of have to. Okay. So, yes. Next, never have I ever defeated more than two bosses in a Mega Man game.
No, I've beaten more than two bosses in a Mega Man game.
You have?
Yeah.
I thought you had never played a Mega Man
no,
game.
No, that's Robbie me. Who's never
you.
Played a Mega Man game. I'm down with the Dr. Wily.
Dr. Wily. Why don't you come and tell the audience why, Robbie? Why have you never played a Mega Man game?
They always look kind of dumb. I've never really been a platformer. And I had a friend that growing up, like, he had... My friend Matt, he had a Nintendo. First of all, he had every like system as they came out. His parents, I don't know what they did. His dad was probably worked for the government, but they were rich. But anyway, he had like, you know, you see these pictures online of people who have like these amazing collections where they just have like walls of like games.
Oh yeah,
this was him. This was him. Lucky. Like when Nintendo was like the console to have, he had every game.
He was the guy.
He was the guy. So I mean, I had every opportunity to play a Mega Man game, but I just never wanted to. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you had like 10 opportunities to
probably.
Play Mega Man
I had
games.
A few. Mm-hmm.
I love Mega Man, so yeah, I've beaten more than two. Next, never have I ever cried playing a video game.
Final Fantasy VII, Aerith death scene.
The original?
Yep.
You were how old?
Yep. Let's see, 97, 12 or 13?
Ah, okay. Yep. So it wasn't like young, James?
I've cried, but not because of anything emotional happened in the game, just because I couldn't beat a level. I almost came to tears trying to play Crash Bandicoot 4 last week, so I cry regularly.
What about you, Weird Beard?
I have. It was actually Super Mario Odyssey. They have
what?
Listen, they have this scene.
No.
Yes, they have this scene where like you go 2D.
That was last year.
Listen,
it was recent. It still hurts.
It was.
Face.
It did because no, it wasn't like a sad cry. It was just like it encapsulates everything about Mario that you love, and you're just like so like I love Mario and Nintendo games and. Yeah, I don't know.
You got emotional.
I did get emotional. I don't care. We are playing Never Have I Ever, the video game edition. We're going around and finding out whether anybody on the cast have ever done these lists of things. Next up, never have I ever practiced something in a game to impress a crush.
I can tell you right now, no. I know I'm not going to impress any crushes with any of the video games that I play. So okay. I actually never have I ever done that.
Okay, I don't think I've ever like had to practice something to do it, but I've impressed girls with video games, yeah.
But no, you've never taken the time to practice doing that.
No, I've always just been really good at it.
Okay. I actually practiced when I was in college. There was a place we used to go drinking that had an arcade cabinet in one of them.
Okay.
And so I would come... When there was nobody there,
just drop quarters.
Get really good at it so that at night when the girls would come in and they'd be drinking, you'd be like, hey, baby, you want to see something real
like,
quick?
Hey, ladies, do you know who POO on the leaderboard of Donkey Kong is? That's me.
It's this
you
guy
want the
right
proof?
Here. Next up, never have I ever talked trash to an enemy in a single player game.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
100%?
100%, especially if it's one that you've like been having trouble beating. Yeah. I don't care if no one's around to see it. I don't care if it's a, you know, a non-sentient fake thing. I'm still talking trash.
Dude, I talk trash to any little object in the game that I think is stopping me from achieving my objectives. So.
I think that's like a universal gamer thing, though, is that if you're able to talk, if you're able to interact with something, you will talk trash about it. Next up, never have I ever played a game made before 1985.
Look, nothing off the top of my head like jumps in there, but I'm sure that I have. When was Pong made? Pong was before that, right?
I think Pong was before that.
So it was probably 81,
82. I remember one time.
72.
Yeah, 72, when we were young, we were visiting a friend of my dad and his kids. We had found someone had actually threw out an original Atari, like in the trash. We found it in the trash.
Cool.
And we got it working on a TV. It was just Pong. It was like it wasn't even an original Atari. It was just the Pong machine. Like, we had like split the wires and like wrapped them around screws in the back of the TV to get it to work.
Wow, you guys are very MacGyver.
Yeah.
I mean, I played old games growing up at my grandma's house. My aunt and uncles would have like a Intellivision or an Atari. So those are like the first games they actually started playing. So I've definitely played games older than that.
All right, I've got another one here. Never have I ever played as a character of the opposite sex if I could choose. Do you ever choose to play as women?
You know what? I usually choose to play as a male character.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like that's just because sometimes those female characters, they look a little too sexy. And I don't know how I feel about, you know,
being that
certain
sexy
emotions riding through me as I'm playing a game.
You can find yourself sexy.
I know, but I still feel.
Yeah, I feel like lately that if I have the chance to be a woman, that I will go for it. I'm just sick of playing as, like, you know,
dudes.
The white dude with the grizzled beard, voiced by Nolan North. Yes, absolutely.
All right, and final question. Never have I ever killed a family in The Sims. Are you a psychopath or not?
I have never played The Sims long enough to have a family.
I've never killed a family in The Sims.
I'm the only person who's killed an entire family in The Sims?
Now we know why you're so sus in Among Us.
This is why you are so sus in Among Us.
I mean, I would invite the chicks in the neighborhood over to come in my hot tub and make out, but I would never kill the family or any Sims character.
All right, well, I guess I just am the only person who knows that you take the pool ladder out of the pool and they're stuck in there forever.
No. Oh, there's a little weird beard murder hack. All right, you heard our nailed it earlier when we told you about Anbox taking that win in the Renegades Valorant tournament. Now it's time to hear who failed it.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
and he goes for more.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
This weekend, the Checkpoint XP crew and Nerd Radio got together to play Among Us. Weirdbeard here was nearly able to kill off the entire crew. He even turned all of us against Chad. But luckily, at the last possible moment, we were able to eject him and save the day.
But listen how mad Chad got when I got him killed.
He's self-reported.
Chad, I watched you. Chad, I literally watched you.
Same thing that boy did. He's doing the same thing. This makes sense.
Chad, I from the very beginning.
And then, no, I knew it. I knew it. I'm voting him out. He killed him. He killed him and then self-reported right before I could report the body.
Chad, I was standing on 02 when it went off. Are you going to tell me this again? This is the second time, Chad.
Killed
the
him.
Second time.
In the
Goodbye,
same
Chad.
Place Lloyd killed.
Goodbye, Chad.
Who did Lloyd kill? Robbie? Goodbye, no,
Chad.
Flynn.
I'm glad that I know for sure James doesn't kill anybody because he followed me around for last minute.
Chuck and James, I outed the last imposter. That makes no sense for me to do that.
Which call are we voting?
Well, I was able to trick everybody into voting Chad off. He's still not talking to me today.
Yeah, you got me. I voted for Chad. I voted for him. I was like, is he a Chad?
It's just about force at that point. Like, I knew Chad wasn't going to stand up to the wrath of the beard boy. So, you know, although I don't think any imposters actually made. Oh, no. Robbie's the only person who
actually
won.
I killed everybody without barely lifting a finger with the reactor meltdown. Right.
All right, well, there's our failed it. Weird Beard not being able to secure that win as the imposter in Among Us.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Don't forget, if you ever miss a Nailed It and Failed It, you can find them posted over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At CheckpointXP.com. Ahead next, we're checking the gaming headlines. Robbie, what's in store for us?
Oh, what classic game is once again being played on something you'd never think to play it on?
Is it weirder than a pregnancy test?
It's pretty weird.
Well, we'll find out when we come back on Checkpoint XP.
Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios, esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I'm James Campbell, and with me is Robbie Landis, as well as the only slime rancher on Checkpoint XP, Weird Beard.
One day I will teach you guys how to ranch your slime.
Never. Is there like a harvest season right now? Like it's fall harvest time.
It's always harvest season in plort time. So what you're doing is you're able to have these cute little freaking slimes, and they're so adorable.
Oh, he's got the game already queued up.
I do, because it's so good, and you can go through and you can explore caves, and it's like a first person shooter, and you get slimes.
All right,
and
Weird Beard, focus more on the show, less on your slime ranching.
It's so cute.
We got some news to get to. Is PlayStation listening to your private conversations while playing video games? We'll tell you why you may need to worry about your privacy online. But first...
Hey! Oh! The guy is unreal!
My goodness!
Here's another eSports gaming update with Robbie Landis on Checkpoint XP Radio.
Despite a new patch dropping with some quality of life changes, a new base, and new high-level missions, Crystal Dynamics is now pushing their content roadmap back. Kate Bishop's Hawkeye will not launch in October, and the next-gen versions of Avengers won't be available until sometime next year.
Wow.
Studio Weren't we head, just talking about
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Studio head Scott Amos says that they are dedicated to delivering the best possible experience amid a slew of unfortunate circumstances presented in 2020, such as the pandemic, and how some developers actually had to evacuate their Californian homes due to wildfires.
Wow, lots of tragedy striking that game.
Yeah. Now, Weird Bear, you were the one that's like, this is the game that's going to do well, but I don't know. I feel like it's teetering out. It's a great game. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But as far as like critical reception goes, it definitely seems like it's teetering on the edge.
I think that it is on the knife's edge of like falling into Anthem territory. Like
Fallout 76 territory might be a little bit better, because Anthem absolutely deserved everything it got. Fallout 76 is still being plagued by its original bad launch, despite having tons and tons of updates done
to
it.
So this Avengers game, so we just talked last week how this new update's supposed to be coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people took that headline of coming soon and made people think that it's happening now, but really
probably
they were just trying to gently be like, hey,
yeah,
there's going to be a delay.
You have to think of just the headache that the developers had last week reading all the headlines and everything
coming
like that.
Coming soon, coming soon. And then you're just it's like, coming soon. And then like, well, by soon, you mean next year.
In a surprise announcement that no one saw coming and no one probably was asking for, Square Enix's Final Fantasy VIII is getting a physical release on the PlayStation 4. Yes, the same Final Fantasy VIII that originally came out in 1999.
Wow.
And you can buy digitally on the PlayStation 4, Steam, or even on your Switch. Now, here's the downside for people like our own producer Callie, who actually loves this game and will buy it anytime that you can. Would you like to buy the physical copy again?
Yes.
Well, you can't, because it's not coming stateside. But if you can snag a copy as it releases in Europe, the Middle East, Australia, or New Zealand, you can still play it on your PS4 since it's not region locked.
I absolutely, even if I never take it out of the packaging, it's a collector's edition, I would buy it.
Are you going to get there's also a double pack coming out,
yes.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sure.
I didn't realize he was so diehard for Final Fantasy VIII.
I don't think I did either.
Wow.
Are you excited about the playthrough that I'm going to do of 8 on stream here soon?
You'll hate it. I'll love it. It'll be great.
I like Final Fantasy VIII. It's just not as good as the other ones. That's all I'm saying. Baldur's Gate 3 is being touted as a next-generation role-playing game. It's currently in early access, and according to the developers, has 25 hours of content in Act 1, which is the only thing that's available for play so far. But one aspiring speedrunner reached the end in only 7 minutes. He abused the long jump transmutation spell that lets you jump 30 feet at a time, a glitch in a well that leads you to the Underdark, which is like the sort of endgame area, and just skipped his way to the end, quite literally, over everything from quests to companions.
Killer. I mean, I don't know. Like, you guys don't love speedrunning. I love speedrunning stuff.
I get the achievement, or sort of the level of achievement you get behind doing glitch any percentage runs, right? I don't think it's fun to watch because none of it makes sense. But actual, like, completion, no glitch speedruns, I think those are pretty cool to watch.
I feel like, yeah, if there's no glitching involved, speedrun can be impressive, but if you're just glitching through like mistakes in the game,
but you have to learn those. You have to know it's not like you can walk up to a wall and just be like, "Whoops, I can walk through it." Like you have to do a complicated series
you have
of
to
like.
Find
but
it, yeah.
it makes you sound like
is,
you got nothing else better to do with your life
yeah.
than just
yeah.
walk around
See,
a well until you glitch into the final level.
I tried to watch an Ocarina of Time speedrun, right, and all it looks like he's doing is randomly jumping around in the starting area, and then suddenly he beat it. Like it just doesn't make any sense. There's no sense in it.
I you saved you, Zelda. I just jumped through this little mountain wall here. And
you just
now
don't
the
have an appreciation
safe.
For the art form.
It
that's
doesn't
all.
Even seem
it's an art form.
It doesn't even seem like there's a specific spot that they jump through, James. It just looks random.
That's the art of it, Robbie.
Well, speaking of art, I really feel like Doom is starting to beat Skyrim in the "how many devices can we put it on" meme. YouTuber Aquala was able to get Doom running on a TI-84 Plus calculator powered by 100 pounds. Of old potatoes.
I don't know what I'm more impressed with, the fact that my old calculator could play Doom or the fact that they powered it with old potatoes.
100 pounds of old potatoes.
What do you think, like, was, do you think he felt good going to the grocery store to buy 100 pounds? Because you don't just have 100 pounds of potatoes hanging around.
Well, you know, he's going to buy those potatoes. He's going to go play Doom. I'd be in a good mood. Unless,
all right.
Unless you got to peel them all.
Yeah, were they peeled?
He did have to do the old experiment where you had to put like copper and zinc in each of them, and then like you know put the cord
That's
in
so
there.
That's so much
like,
effort.
It was a lot of effort into it. Yeah,
somebody should tell this guy you can go buy 4 AA batteries for like $5-6.
It's been revealed that one of the suits that you can get in Spider-Man Miles Morales includes Spider-Man the Cat. It is a cat named Spider-Man, and it's actually a part of one of the suits. Now, the suit is pretty basic. It's a sweater with a Spidey symbol on it, a red face mask, and a backpack. And Spider-Man the Cat rides around in the backpack, and when you perform finishing moves on enemies, he actually helps you with the finishing moves to finish them off.
This sounds like the perfect element for Robbie. Because I know you're looking forward to this game, and I know you're a cat guy.
I am.
And it's a Marvel, like,
yeah,
superhero
Marvel,
thing.
Dude, is this not, like, how
I
joyful
mean,
are you?
It's okay, but I prefer wearing, like, the actual cool-looking suits, like the high-tech stuff, yeah.
Would it be cooler if it was a spider dog? You think spider dog would have gone over better?
What about spider pig?
No, the internet loves cats.
I would have preferred spider pig.
Well, there you go.
Spider pig.
One of the biggest issues facing the world of gaming in the age of digital downloads is file size. Games are getting bigger and hard drive space is precious. Cloud gaming should be a solution for this, but it's slow to being adapted. One of the most egregious games in recent memory is Call of Duty, which is over 100 gigabytes in size. Even if you're only playing Warzone, you still have to download the entire base game. But not anymore. Call of Duty is finally letting players uninstall over 100 gigabytes of data.
Thank God. It is.
Give me back my data.
Yes, it's
Give
so...
Give me back my data.
I feel dumb, like, having that, because I don't necessarily crack into Warzone nearly as much as I thought that I would be.
Yeah, I stopped once I was getting smoked every time I'd drop in.
And it's just, like, to have a game that I don't play a ton of, and I have over 100 gigabytes
of a lot
of
memory retail.
Sitting there.
Not retail, it's the wrong word, but that's a lot of memory that they're taking up.
Mm-hmm. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
All right, thank you, Robbie, for that update. I've been seeing some crazy stuff on the internet about the PlayStation 5. I read that if you're in voice chat on the PlayStation 5, it's going to monitor and record your conversations. Then I saw another headline that it's not true. Robbie, weird beard. Is Sony going to spy on us through the PlayStation 5?
All right. Well, first of all, probably. Let's be honest. Technology spies on us everywhere. All right. But, you know, I'm not sure where the original reports came from that got people all up in a tizzy about the fact that, you know, they would be recording and listening in on your PlayStation 5 recording voice chats. But they have actually came out in a blog post. Catherine Jensen, Sony Interactive's Vice President for Global Consumer Experience, said, "We didn't clearly communicate this new feature or explain why we are introducing it, and we apologize for that, but they are saying that voice chats will not be recorded." That's what they're saying.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Until you say a couple of the key words about doing stuff to the government or the president,
yeah.
I'm sure they're recording everything.
Yep, it
just
says
like this conversation we're having right now.
So this new update was about party safety, and in it it said, "Please be aware that voice chats in parties may be recorded and sent to us by other users. By participating in voice chats, you agree to your voice being recorded. These recordings will only be used for safety and moderation purposes."
Really? That's what they always say. It's
now,
for your own safety.
Yeah, here's the thing is, like, at what point do people get upset with this and also have an Amazon Alexa in their house? You know what I mean? No, I'm serious. Yeah, like, no. I don't want to say manufactured outrage, but gamers get very upset and very passionate about things.
I think that in gamers certain areas get upset about stupid things. Because when you read into it a little bit more, essentially what this is if you're in a party with something and someone says or does something that you want to report, in your report, you can include up to 40-second long voice clip of that chat.
Okay,
right?
So somebody like in your chat starts abusing you, verbally abusing you.
So
and you
obviously,
report it.
In order to be able to do that, yes, they do have to be able to listen to it and record it. But again, like you said, so much of our technology already does that. You're being outraged by stuff that you've been complacent in for years now. How many times have I mentioned something with my phone 5 feet away from me?
And
then Facebook is like, hey, I heard you talking about this late earlier. Here's an ad for toe fungus cream.
Here you go. We heard you talk about your toe fungus cream.
I kid you not. One time Callie asked us about why, like she saw a headline of a porch in Detroit being stolen. A porch. Someone stole a porch. And then 5 minutes later, she's scrolling Facebook and goes, why is there an ad here for a service that will, like, deliver a porch to my house?
Porch delivery, huh? That's a new one.
Real story. That happened.
Yeah, I just find it funny. Like, gamers get so butthurt about so much stuff that I think could be better served on real problems and issues. I don't see how you could report somebody for verbally abusing you without being able to send
to record it.
That, I think the pros for what it could stop people from doing greatly outweigh the cons.
And here's the thing: when it comes to places within our space that need moderation,
voice chat is the number one.
But I don't know that I trust that they can do it, because you also think that being able to moderate within chat should be so easy to do, right? There's logs of it. You can just outright ban certain words.
So bottom line, there is not like a big bank of people sitting around with headphones on listening to your private conversations.
The NSA is not logging all of your conversations.
They're not hearing you talk about your chicken tendies and what you're doing with your teammates.
My spicy nugs.
Yeah, exactly. No spicy nug talk.
All right. Looking for a hit game that you might have missed. Maybe something that's easy to get into and still worth the time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Well, then we have a great gaming recommendation coming up in just a bit. But first, we're going to be talking about T'Chanka. What has this rework done to the meme characters of all meme characters?
The Rainbow Six Siege community is in shambles because of this.
Oh my goodness, that sounds crazy. We'll find out what it's all about next on Checkpoint XP.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find The Other Identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with Continuous Esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is going to be absolute madness around...
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. You're listening to me, James Campbell, as well as Weird Beard, and someone who has been spending his paycheck on new toys instead of groceries, Robbie Landis.
Whoa. All right, first of all, I don't pay for the groceries. Oh. Katie pays for the groceries, but I energy bill every month, so I just happen to have extra money.
Well, let's talk more about your toys and less about your finances at home.
Okay, yes.
What'd you get? It looked like something from Overwatch.
I have all the Overwatch Figma figures, which is like highly detailed and customizable figures. Yeah, you can take off different pieces.
It's high-end action figures.
It is. They're like $100 or more when they come out. But what I do, go on Amazon, I throw them all onto a wish list, and then every few weeks I'll check to see how cheap they were. Mm-hmm. I got one that normally goes for $100 for $30.
Wow, he's a bargain shopper.
Boom.
Look at that.
Bargain shopping off an Amazon.
On stuff he doesn't need to begin with.
You know what?
So you got a bargain.
Weird beard.
I get it.
This is what happens when you don't have kids. You can buy anything you want to.
Well, it's kind of like all the stuff you show us that you got the bargains on from the thrift store.
Cool.
An esport that we don't get to talk about too much on the show, Rainbow Six Siege, has been getting a bit of attention this past week. Weird Beard, I'm going to need a little bit of help on this one here. What is a T'Chanka, and why is it bad? but now it's good?
Yes. So Tachanka, for everybody who is not familiar with Rainbow Six Siege,
is actually the home planet of the Krogans in the wildly popular Mass Effect franchise.
Well, the way that we're talking about it today is it's an operator or a character in the game Rainbow Six Siege, which is a team-based tactical shooter, kind of like Call of Duty or like CSGO or something along those lines,
that's
right?
That's crazy because I thought it was like an onomatopoeia. You know those things, the noise sound effects that sound like how they're spelt? That's what I thought a Tachanka was.
So Tachanka, the word actually means it's like a horse-mounted railgun that they used in Russia, and it's this giant Russian guy who voices him. And he's a meme character, right? Like, there's no real reason to pick him because he's been so bad for so long. But he's one of the most selected characters outside of the pro scene because people just love playing him because of like the ethos
or
around
people
him.
Just like throwing the match. It sounds exactly like what Torbjorn was in Overwatch before he got his rework and is actually viable now.
That's
he
exactly
also had
what it
a
is.
Turret.
So what it is Tachanka.
I love that character.
Tachanka has a mounted turret that he would set down before the buffs. He would just set it down and be like a sitting mincemeat. Yes, because we'll get to that. This is what it sounds like if you were to pick Tachanka in a pro match.
That's not real. That's
oh wow, he actually lost
he's
it
actually,
to Tachanka. Ladies and gentlemen, it's happened.
Yeah, it's like
you can hear that the announcer like this guy is a clown.
That's the exact same way people would talk when a pro in Overwatch selected Torbjorn.
Really?
But oh, now the entire world has flipped upside down. And now that they have buffed Tachanka,
which means they improved him.
Thank you, because I'm like
you're
buff,
welcome.
What we yes, we rubbed him down with a rag.
A nerf is when you reduce something's capability, like you've turned into a nerf gun. It doesn't do much damage.
Okay, so like a real gun is now
right.
a nerf gun.
And then a buff, like you're buffing up, is when you make something stronger.
And so they made him to be totally viable and an absolute nightmare to play against now. And so it's crazy to see this meme character who since the launch of Siege has been the like fat, overweight, nobody picks him because he's a goofball.
Now he's ripped. He's the ripped, hunky guy that all the chicks want.
Like, literally, look at what his voice actor looks like. Tell me that this
that's
is
a
not
big
a...
boy.
This is what he sounds like, his voice actor.
Does he look like a John Wick villain?
No, well, he looks like I don't even know how to say it, like a massive monster of a man from
Russia.
Yeah,
he could be a John Wick villain.
So this is what he sounds like.
They're here, they're watching. They're really excited to see you.
LMG, Mamba, and Luna.
Like, he's just a scary person, and it's now matching how he can actually perform inside of the game.
That guy is terrifying.
Can't be bothered to play new games as they come out.
I've been hearing about this Skyrim thing. Is that worth buying?
For gamers behind the times, it's the Patient Gamer.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Each week, Weird Beard and Robbie bring us a new game to check out that we might have otherwise missed. What do we have this week, Robbie?
This week, we have a classic. It is probably, at best, the fourth best Final Fantasy.
That's a stretch.
It's Final Fantasy VII. Sorry. It's Final Fantasy VIII.
Couldn't even get the number right.
Lies. Shameless, filthy wretches. How you celebrate my ascension with such joy, hailing the very one you have condemned for generations. Have you no shame? We're gonna build a wall and make Timber pay for it. Make Albedia great again.
So the story of Final Fantasy VIII, you play as the leader of a newly graduated teenage mercenary force, and on your first mission, an ancient sorceress reappears and takes over one of the most powerful governments in the world.
This sounds like every Final Fantasy game so far,
It is.
It's a tale as old as time.
Must stop her. But here, look, some of the things that make Final Fantasy VIII good. First of all, like the 90s, when all those Final Fantasies came coming out, that was like the golden age of role-playing games. So as much as I make fun of it, Final Fantasy VIII is still a very, very good game. It has the turn-based combat that you're used to, epic story, great characters, magic, summonable monsters, and get this, James, gunblades.
Gunblades?
It's a giant sword
that's also a gun.
So he'll slash you and shoot you at the same time.
Yeah.
So I can cut you up and shoot you.
That's right.
Yes.
That's a double threat there.
The big thing that you have to remember is that the main character of this game is hella emo.
And he's super emo.
He's like a lot of the game is him kind of just being like,
I'm so
sad,
emo.
I'm
whatever.
Sad and things.
I'm going to go listen to the Dashboard Confessional.
That's literally what if Dashboard Confessional existed in this universe, he would be listening to
Screaming
it.
Screaming Infidelity is like my favorite song.
The way that I usually try to sell video game or sell Final Fantasy video games to people is go, okay, if you like Final Fantasy VIII, you'll like Final Fantasy X. If you like Final Fantasy VII, you like Final Fantasy IX. So that's the way you can usually decide, because people either tend to like Final Fantasy VII as their first, like, to, you know, 3D Final Fantasy, or they liked Final Fantasy VIII.
Do they have similar people working on those projects that are the same?
Yeah, exact team. All the same company, exact team.
So it's kind of like how Call of Duty, every year they put one out, it's different developers that are working on the game, kind of.
Yeah, it's there's different mechanics. Okay. So it's not like...
They're not direct sequels. That's what I think a lot of people who've never played them don't realize, is it's not like, you know, Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3.
They're not linked. It's their own characters.
Set in a completely different world, completely different timeline, all that sort of
stuff. Because I always thought all the Final Fantasies, it's like the same characters. Eventually they just evolve, or a bloodline is still carried on.
Nope, you can jump into literally any one that you want to, whichever one, you know, sounds cool. And because they all have distinctive art styles, because, you know, they were a few years apart, technology was advancing, that even some of what they look like looks a lot different. And despite, you know, having a lot of things in common, like the turn-based combat, you know, the narratives and whatnot, some of them even play quite differently as well. So honestly, as long as you can get past the graphics, as long as you're not one of those people that's like, oh, I can't play them because the graphics are so bad.
They look like bunch of polygons with faces.
Right. Honestly, 7, 8, 9, or 10, jumping into any of those is a really good place for any first-time Final Fantasy player.
I will say, for Final Fantasy VIII, this was a seminal game in my gaming history. I would recommend this to anybody who likes turn-based combat systems, role-playing games.
You can
find
it on the PlayStation Network, Steam, and it's also available on the Switch, $19.99. And if you're still not entirely sold on it, I'm actually going to be starting a playthrough here over the next month leading up to the release of Cyberpunk, because I need something to do until Cyberpunk comes out, over on my stream at twitch.tv/Robbie_Landis if you want to come and sort of, you know, get a first-hand look at it before you decide to pick it up.
All right. Well, you can watch the game that Weird Beer became a man to on Robbie's stream. Here's your patient gamer recommendation. Final Fantasy VIII, available on the PlayStation Network, Steam, and Switch for $19.99. Coming up, we asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what was the first game you had to use a strategy guide for? We'll talk about your answers when Checkpoint XP returns.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The League of Legends World Championships continue throughout the month of October, with the finals set to be held in early November. With the Overwatch League Grand Finals in the books, normally we turn our attention to the Overwatch World Cup. However, with BlizzCon canceled this year, that event is now in doubt. We're unlikely to see more professional Overwatch until 2021. In Counter-Strike Global Offensive, the month of October...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
October plays host to IEM New York, as well as the DreamHack Open Fall event. The RLCSX Fall Major is underway, and North America's turn is just about here. North America will compete on October 18th and October 25th. The November 6th Siege Major has been replaced by a regional competition that'll be held online. North American competition will run November 13th through the 15th. We're coming up on the end of the major esports seasons at this point, and it's going to be a long wait until January. Hopefully, 2021 will be a better year for esports. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, head on over to our website. That's over at checkpointxp.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who's still having a hard time understanding how PC gaming is supposedly superior, me, James Campbell.
You're going to die with this on your tombstone of just being like, go to hell, PC gaming,
yes.
James Campbell.
See, everybody, PC gaming is far superior. I have 10,000 times more problems trying to play a game on a PC.
The problem is, James, I think that like your birthday just somehow fell like on just barely the wrong side of like the people who just who for the life of them can't get technology to work, and then those that just have no problem with it. Like you were like right on the line, and
something's
just,
going on.
It's
going
to curse you for the rest of your life.
I will say that little gremlins live in PCs more often than they do in consoles.
Well, I think I have about
more
four
room.
Families.
Yeah, there's
my
room.
PCs
yeah.
in my house.
We asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what was the first game you had to use a guide for? We're going to talk about your answers in just a moment, because first, we are going to discuss our answers.
I'll go ahead and go first, and I remember this quite vividly. I believe, as far back as I can remember, it was actually Final Fantasy VII.
I'm glad he's actually admitting to using a guide, because I thought Robbie Landis would be like, yeah, I've never,
no,
I've never
so,
done that.
When I first played Final Fantasy VII, it was actually a demo disc, not the actual game. That's what turned me on to it. Mm-hmm. And so you got to play like the first, I think, 10 minutes in the first boss battle.
They come like free with a magazine, like a Game Informer magazine or something?
Yes,
yeah,
but here's
those.
The issue, and I know that I'm not the only one that had an issue with this. In the first boss battle, there's a translation error, and the boss puts his tail up. And if you counterattack him, he hits you with his devastating laser, right? So the game tries to tell you that. It goes, attack with his tail, or it says, if you attack with his tail up, he'll cut, or no, what was it? His tail's up, he's going to counterattack with a laser. Attack him while his tail is up. Like, it tries to warn you, but the way that it's translated, it says, well, his tail's up, get him. So me and my friend spent like a half an hour trying to beat it, and every time we'd attack him, he'd kill us. We're like, why? What is going on?
Yeah.
Like, we're doing what it tells us to do.
The tail's up, and I keep dying.
Right. So we looked it up in you know, on the internet at the time, very, very, very early. This is back in 97, 98.
It was dial-up.
Yeah, it was dial-up, and you had to like really search around for what you were looking for. But eventually we found it's like translation error. Don't attack when its tail's up. And easy enough to beat after that. But... yeah, that was my first one.
What about you, Weirdbeard?
I spent money on my first walkthrough that I had to. I don't know if you remembered or even knew about this, but there used to be a video game hotline to where you could call in and they would
like charge, the Nintendo hotline?
Yes, and
yes.
They would charge you per minute when you would call in. Mm-hmm. I had to do it for an RPG called Legend of Dragoon. And
I remember Legend of Dragoon. Wait, hold on. How young were you at this time? Your parents actually like gave you like
he
a
didn't
credit
get
card?
Permission
yeah,
from his
really.
Parents.
Like you it's billed to your phone bill. Like yeah. You just hope that it goes in there like an adult movie charge and hope that your parents don't notice it and they
did
just
they,
pay it
did
off.
Did they find out?
No, because it was at my friend's house. So his parents had paid for it.
We would call the game chat line too from a friend's house. Is like
exactly.
With the parents that like weren't really present.
Exactly.
You know? It's the parents that are like, well, I got these kids, but I don't really know what to do with them. So just go play games.
And so we got a code to a kind of a oblique part that we were stuck on and didn't want to do anything on. And it was the most terror was like, okay, we got to punch through this menu as quick as possible. Like here and here, because you had to like. Key in on the keys where you were at in the game.
Oh,
and then
man.
It was a pre-recorded. Yeah. It was the cheapest option because it was a pre-recorded walkthrough and you had to like be scribbling notes. And the thing that did it in for me was we missed it and we hung up and we went and tried to play and we realized we didn't get the part we needed.
And
so
had
we had to call back
man.
Again and do it all.
Do you remember did we hit a 3 or a 4 first?
we don't remember
the way to get to the answers.
What about you, James?
For me, I mean, I used to use like Nintendo Powers because they'd have like the little maps the levels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say like the actual true guide that I bought specifically for a game is for Fallout 3. Because I've tried playing Fallout 3 about 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And there's a point once you get out of the shelter, once mm-hmm. you get out of the
vault,
the vault. Thank you. Once you get out of the vault, you're on your own. You can do whatever you want. So I found the first town, and then once I got to that first town, Megaton, I'm like, I don't know what to do next, and I didn't realize you had to go through like the subways and find the other spots. So I tried playing the game 5 times, and finally on the 5th time, I was like. I'm going to buy the guide because I'm like, I see potential in this game.
That's
being
honestly
fun.
One of the best things about buying a guide for the Fallout games isn't necessarily for it to tell you where to go, but just getting the map that shows you where all the points of interest
very helpful.
Are. So you still get to experience the game, you know, as though you're playing it for the first time, but just making sure you're not missing anything.
Yeah, because I was so new to Fallout. I'm like, okay, this next spot on the map is this grocery store that's abandoned. I need to go in here.
Am I supposed to be here?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm like hacking all these computers and fighting all these raiders and stuff off.
But I'm like, I don't even know if this is a part of the game. What am I doing right now? And then I bought the guide, and I fell in love with Fallout 3 after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at some of the responses that we got in social media. We got one from Chad here that says, LaGaia 2. There was one rainbow puzzle that I spent 2 days trying to figure out before cracking and looking it up. You know, nowadays, with the ease of access, you know, basically having it in our phones.
Oh, yeah, this is probably 4,000 YouTube videos you find in 2 seconds.
It's so easy. Like, people will put everything on. So this is a question I have for you guys. How long do you wait when you're stuck on something in a game before you crack and go and look up a guide?
Well, my rule is once you look at it,
I don't know about that one.
I could go longer, but it's only because I have a rule that once I look at a guide, I can go back to the guide as many times as possible.
Oh.
So it's like once you break the seal, what I mean?
Then
you just
go check it out.
Yeah, you can just do whatever.
Yeah.
So like if I'm going, can't look at anything if I want to keep the ending and the rest of the game secret to myself.
Wow. If it comes to difficulty, let's say it's a boss I'm having trouble beating, right? I'll wait as long as I can. But if it's something like, if I'm looking for like collectibles, like I know that something's here, right? Like it says in the map, this is where it's at, but I can't find it. Those I'll look up almost instantly because it's wasting time.
Quest,
I'm walking circles in an area. Just get me out of here.
I get it.
What about you, James?
I'll give it about 15 minutes. If I can't figure it out, give me my phone. I don't got time for this. I need to find out how to beat this boss.
All right. Jeremy says, we had a map for The Legend of Zelda from a gaming magazine, and my dad let the owner of West Coast Video Store borrow it and never got it back. My dad still brings it up every once in a while.
I'd be mad as hell, too. Yeah, like, somebody from a gaming store stole it from me. I want it back.
That's a collector's item.
Let's see. Rich says, Kingdom Hearts. I didn't need a walkthrough to beat the main storyline, but I did need it to get 100% completion on secret boss, side quest, and crafting
items.
So
wait, this is a game that has secret bosses? Like, you have to secretly find
so
these
many,
bosses?
Yeah, many games have secret bosses.
Yeah, come on. Are you kidding, James?
Like, Final Fantasy games are notorious for having a final boss and then a secret boss that's the actual final
boss.
One of
the best ones in Kingdom Hearts is you can actually fight Sephiroth, the one-winged angel, who is actually the main bad guy.
So he's the bad guy in Final Fantasy
from
VII?
From Final Fantasy VII, yeah.
And he's a secret
tough.
Boss.
Yep, yep. Wow. You have to fight your way through Hercules' Colosseum to be able to fight him.
Hercules is in this one, too?
Yes. Yeah.
Man.
Matt says, Pokemon Red and Blue. I had to wait till Nintendo Power put out their mini insert guide to get past Silph-Co. Wow, showing my age with that one. Okay, I feel that. That's legit. Silph-Co was basically a building that was essentially just a maze with, like, teleporters, and they had, like, forced movement. Like, they had these areas where when you stepped on a panel, it would push you a certain way into another one that would push you a certain way, and you basically had to, like, figure out the right way to go through it. It was terrible. It was so tough.
It sounds like so many kids, their first interaction with walkthroughs and stuff was like a Nintendo Power.
Because I mean, back in the 90s, like I said, when it comes to guides online, you didn't have the ease. YouTube wasn't a thing, right?
No, that stuff wasn't available.
So when you were looking for guides, they weren't even video guides. They were just people that took the time to type up their own FAQs. I went to it was a place called GameWinners.com. Now it's Game Facts.
I remember Game FAQs where I would go and watch the walkthroughs.
Yeah, that's still a place.
That's still around.
That's still a place.
Wow.
I'll actually prefer to use that and like read through as opposed to watching a video.
Because there's no pictures, so there's still more elements of surprise.
Well, plus the videos all start the same way. Hey, guys, what's up? Yeah. Welcome back to my channel.
Make sure you click that like button and subscribe.
And then you have to like try and
drop
like
a comment.
Find your way through the video. If I'm looking through text, like I know exactly where to go. I just get the information that I need. I don't have to listen to someone who sounds like Weird Beard yelling in my ear.
That's what I was going to say.
Shots fired.
That's me on YouTube all the time.
All right, finally, we have Ivan who just says, Gex, enter the gecko.
And that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening to us on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Check out the Checkpoint XP on campus. Get the latest info on what is going on in the world of collegiate esports. Check out the new show with Norris Howard and Jacob Brothers as they talk collegiate League of Legends and Overwatch players and how you could be one too. New episodes every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. A big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Checkpoint XP. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the show, and we'll talk to you again on the next level.